We want to talk about life choices this morning. Life is full of choices, and there are a lot of different kinds of choices, and we're going to look at several different ones and how they affect us. Choices certainly affect us in various different ways. As we consider this, let's begin by looking at Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua, as he's nearing the end of his life, he calls upon the children of Israel to make a decision. He says, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua makes it pretty clear that there are choices. We don't have to do what our parents did. We don't have to do what the people around us that live in the land we live in do. But we can choose to do those things if we want to. But he makes it clear he's going to make a different decision. He's not going to serve the gods that his ancestors served. He's not going to serve the gods that the people around him serve. He's going to serve the one true living God. He's going to serve the Lord. And he has made that decision for himself and for his household too, that that's going to be their God. Now of course his children, descendants, when they grow up, they'll get to make that decision for themselves as well. Will they serve who their father taught them to serve? Or will they leave and serve someone else? Each of us must come to that choice. We have to choose. We have to make decisions every day that will affect our lives in one way or another. Plato once said, "A good decision is based on knowledge and not on numbers." And by that, of course, what he meant was, it doesn't matter how many people are choosing a particular thing. Just because a majority of people may choose one thing does not mean that's the right choice. In fact, many times, the group that's the largest picks the thing that's wrong. They don't make the right choice. So we have to be aware of that and understand that concept. As we consider our life choices, we're going to learn that in life there are some choices that do different things, and we're going to look at each of those now. First of all, there are some choices that we can't make. There are some choices that are beyond us. We don't get to make every choice. It's kind of a sad thing when we've got freedom in this country. We can choose whatever. Well, there are still some things that you can't choose. There are some things that God chooses. You see, God chooses what someone must do in order to be saved, to go to heaven with Him. We can't choose that. Now, we can choose whether to do that or not, but we don't get to choose. We don't get to decide what's necessary for salvation. God chooses that. God chooses when the world will end. He chooses when life begins. He chooses when the sun comes up and when it sets. He's chosen all of those things. We don't get to make those choices. So there are many things that God chooses, and we have no choice in the matter to change it. There are some things others choose for us. Our parents made some choices for us that we may or may not have appreciated, starting with the choice to bring us into this world. Some folks wish they'd never been born, as Job did, and he cursed the day he was born. Some people say, you know, Job was a really wicked fellow. How many people do you know who can curse the day they're born? But he wasn't cursing on the day he was born. He's just looking back at that day, wished he'd never been born. And some people get to that point, that they wish their parents had never brought them into this world. That's a sad situation for people to be in, but it is the case sometimes. But others choose things for us sometimes. Other people's actions and other people's choices affect our lives in ways that sometimes we don't know what the effect is going to be. Sometimes we didn't expect. Sometimes we didn't see it coming. Think about the many things that people have done and how it affected other people who never would have chosen that. Other people choose some things for us. We see that many times in marriages where one of the partners in that marriage just decides to up and run off and leave and desert the family. Well, the other partner may not have had any desire for that to be the case, but they didn't have a choice in that situation. It was chosen for them by someone else, and they're left alone without that mate. And there are many other cases where people choose things for us. This morning, Randy chose our songs for us. We didn't get to choose which songs we would sing. Randy chose that. He's the song leader. I've chosen what the lesson is this morning. You didn't get to choose that. You know, there have been a few times where I let y'all pick. We'll have to be sure we do that. So, which sermon do you want? And then somebody will say, well, I don't want either one. Just read one verse and let's go home. Right? Somebody will be ready to go. But there are some things that other people make choices and they affect us. And of course, we see that in our government as well. There are many choices that are made for us by Congress or by presidents or governors or local town councils or whoever it might be that affect the people that live there that may not have been the choices those people wanted to make. And yet, others sometimes choose certain things for us. Some things happen naturally without anyone choosing. Some things are just the way they are. And you can't affect it. And nobody really chose it to be that way. It's just an accident or it's just an occurrence. It's just happenstance. It was just chance. You think about many times we've got the life game up there on the board. Well, you see the little spinner there and you spin that spinner to get a number between 1 and 10. Nobody chooses which number it will be. It just happens. It's just random. Of course, you know, you can try by controlling how hard you spin, but you don't get to choose. It just happens. You roll the dice or in a game or something like that. There are a lot of things where we don't really choose that thing in particular. It just happens that way. It's just the way that these things occur. And there are many things like that. So, for example, you know, Shirley this morning didn't choose to have her car not start for her. She didn't choose that. It just happened because the gear shift wasn't all the way in park. She didn't choose it. Nobody else chose it for her. It just is the way it was this morning. And those things happen. We often don't choose to get a flat tire or choose to have our battery die on us in our cars or any of that. We don't choose those things. It just happened. And so there are those things. So there are many things in this life. There are choices that we can't make. You know, we can't choose. Well, I'm never going to have a car with a dead battery. I'm never going to have a car with a flat tire. Well, that would be nice. The way to never have a car with a dead battery or never have a car with a flat tire is really simple. And I guess you can choose that. You can choose to just never have a car. And those things won't happen to you. But most of us, because we choose to have a car, there are some of those other things that will happen. There are other choices in life that seem insignificant. Now, just because something seems insignificant doesn't always mean that it is, but there are many things in this life where it seems very insignificant. For example, all of us got up and got dressed this morning, I hope. No naked people out there, are there? Oh, no, we all got dressed this morning, and we came to worship. But we chose what we would eat for breakfast or whether we would eat breakfast. We chose what clothing we would wear. We chose what tasks we would do beforehand and what we would put off until afterwards when we get back home. We made some of those little choices. And many of those things seemed somewhat insignificant. You know, we maybe picked the article of clothing that, you know, we opened the closet and let's get that one today. It may not have seemed that important, and probably wasn't. Unless, of course, the button on your pants is just holding on by its last thread and it pops off and hurts somebody, you know, then it could be important. But probably that won't happen, right? The fact of the matter is it seems like a little thing, and we do it every day. Lots and lots of these little choices. You know, we may choose when our alarm goes off to hit the snooze button for 5 or 10 more minutes or something. We make these little choices and we think, oh, it's not that big a deal. what we don't realize is that some of these seemingly insignificant choices may have consequences that are predictable. We can make some choices that we know pretty much what's going to happen. I know, for example, that if I eat certain foods, while it may seem like an insignificant thing to choose that food, I know if I eat it, I'll get some acid indigestion. Y'all know some food, you have some foods like that in your life? I know if I eat it, I'll get some acid. And sometimes I say, you know, I can take a Rolaids or a Tums or something, and you know, it's okay. I'll just eat it anyway. Other times I may say, you know, my tummy's already not feeling good. I don't want to put that in there because it's just going to make it worse, right? We all do some of those things. And we know that there are certain consequences to those little things, but they're insignificant little things seemingly to us. And so we make that choice. And it doesn't seem like a big deal. But some of them may have consequences that could not have been expected. Perhaps because something happened as you were getting ready to leave, you left a minute or two later, and how many times has just a few seconds or just a minute's difference made the difference in somebody getting into a car wreck or not getting into that car wreck? Just getting delayed a minute. The phone rings and you decide, do I answer it or not answer it? And it seems like an insignificant thing. And so you make that choice, answer it or not answer it. And there are some consequences to that, some of which may or may not be predictable. And again, sometimes that may delay you. You may wind up being late. As I was the other day, I thought, well, I could make this quick phone call and the person on the other end of the phone wanted to talk for an hour and a half. You ever have those happen? They didn't want to make a quick phone call. They didn't want to get off the phone. So I wound up, you know, trying to get, you know, okay, well, and finally just say, I'm sorry, I've got to leave. I've got to go. And have to, sometimes you have to hang up on folks because they won't understand, they won't take, it's time to go for an answer. But sometimes you don't expect these things and you don't know they're going to happen. And you can't predict how some seemingly insignificant choice, like perhaps which restaurant you go eat at, and you happen to go to the one that, and you happen to choose a particular dish, and that particular dish that they bring you happened to have been undercooked and had some, you get some food poisoning from it. You know, it seemed like an insignificant choice. Have you ever done that? I've been there. I've done that. I went to the restaurant, chose this thing, thought it was a good choice, thought, well, it's not a big deal. Until I was sick as a dog for the next 12 hours because I had eaten something that, you know, I got food poisoning from it. That can happen. So sometimes something that seems insignificant can have consequences that couldn't have been expected. But then there are some choices that we make that affect our lives deeply. They really make differences in the long term of our lives as to where we wind up. And a lot of these, for example, friends with whom we associate. How significant is it, the people that you associate with? We tend to become like the people that we hang out with, the people that we spend the most time with. They influence our thoughts and our beliefs. They influence our likes and dislikes. They make influences on us when we choose to be around them. Some of those choices lead us down bad pathways in life. Other choices, if we choose more wisely and choose better associates to be around, better friends to have, can lead us toward good things. We need to think carefully as we make those choices, because the people that we hang around will certainly make a difference in our lives, and it can be a profound difference. I remember the story being told of one young man who wound up in prison for 20 years because he chose to hang out with some folks and spend some time with them and be in the car with them when they stopped to rob a convenience store and killed somebody in the robbery. And because he was driving the car, when that happened, he became an accessory to the crime and wound up going to prison for years because of the choice of friends that he made, because of the people that he was with. Our education, what we choose to learn, what we choose to do with it, makes a big difference in our lives, doesn't it? Now, not all of those are either good or bad necessarily, but it may determine what we're able to do with our life, where we're able to go, what jobs we're able to get, all of these kinds of things. But more importantly, our education may determine other things about our life. It may determine other decisions that we make. How well educated we are may determine how well we choose other things in our lives. How well we're able to read the instructions or to read the information that the doctor gives us or that someone else gives us that may have something to do with something that's very important for our life. It's a significant thing. Now, does that mean it? You got to go to college to be smart and get a good... Not always. There are lots of people that are millionaires and never went to college at all. You don't have to. That's not necessary. But you do need to have an education. Whether you go to college or not, or whether you go to trade school, or whether you just learn the family business, or whatever those things are, it makes a difference in your life and what happens in your life. Somebody who goes off to college in a faraway place may wind up getting married to somebody there. Is that going to make a big difference in their life as opposed to if they just stayed in the local community and married somebody from there? Yeah, it's going to make a big difference. Somebody like my wife from Nebraska who decides to go to school in Alabama and gets married to some bum like me, look how it's ruined her life. They say, don't laugh at your wife's choices, you're one of them. All right? But I can laugh at my wife's choices because I see me in the mirror every day, so I know it's worth laughing about. Kind of makes you wonder about her that she'd choose somebody like me, though, doesn't it? But because of that, all the things that follow in your life. I used to ask my mother when I was a little boy, I said, Mama, what if Daddy hadn't been my daddy? And I think a lot of kids go through it. What if I'd have had a different mama and daddy? How would that have worked out? Well, you couldn't. You got the one you got. If there'd have been a different mommy and daddy, you wouldn't be here. It's hard to explain that to children. But we are here because of these things. And growing up, even something as simple as where you go to school may make a difference in those things because you've made choices along the way. As they say, the flap of the butterfly's wing affects things on the other side of the world because every little tiny thing touches every other little tiny thing along the way. Of course, what occupation you choose may make a difference. Is there a difference between sitting behind a desk and being a high-rise window washer? Well, yeah, there's a lot of difference in those occupations. It makes a difference. Is there a difference if you choose to go into the military or not? Yeah, they can make a big difference in your life. There's all sorts of choices about occupation. Makes a big difference. And of course, about marriage. Makes a huge difference. All of these things. Parenthood, do you decide to have children? When do you decide to have children? All of these things, they've made huge differences in our lives. And so you say, well, I'm past all those things. That doesn't mean that the choices you're still making today don't affect your life profoundly. They still do. They still make huge differences. And sometimes, of course, they make differences in other people's lives. The choice of how much time you spend with your grandchildren. The choice of how much time you spend with your children. Even your grown adult children. It makes a difference. All of these things affect our lives deeply. But the final thing that we want to notice, and this is the biggest, I guess you could say, in many ways. There are some choices that affect our souls for eternity. And we need to consider these. We really need to think about what these things mean to us. And some of these choices are, who will rule our lives? You see, sometimes we think, well, I'm in charge of my life. No. You have to choose. Someone will rule your life. Will it be Satan? 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, says, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to those that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Satan blocks that. Some people can't see the light because Satan has blinded them. Because they've allowed him to rule in their lives. And as their ruler, he doesn't want them to see the light of the gospel. But what about Jesus? Is Jesus the ruler of your life? In 1 Corinthians 15:25 through 28, it says he must reign until he's put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He's put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it's manifest that he has accepted that put all those things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then the Son also himself will be subject to the one who put those things under him, that God may be all in all. Is Jesus ruling your life? Is it going to make a difference whether Satan or Jesus is ruling your life? Is that going to make a difference? Not just in this life, but for all eternity? That's going to make a difference. So who rules your life? On what foundation will our lives be built? What are we going to build on? We can build on the shifting sand, Matthew 7, 26 and 27. Everyone that hears the sayings of Jesus but doesn't do them is like the man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the floods came up. As the little song says, smash, the house went kaplooey, didn't it? Or are we going to build on the solid rock, as verses 24 and 25 tell us? Whoever hears these sayings and does them is like one that builds his house on the rock. Rain and the floods and the wind, and they beat on that house, but they could not destroy it. It did not fall. So where are you building your life? What foundation are you using? And then which path will we travel? I know there are many paths that we could take, but really all of them come down to a choice of just two. All the different paths that are out there really comes down to just two different choices. There's the broad way. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in there. But then there's also the narrow way that he also speaks of there. Enter in the straight gate. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. You ever been looking for a path or a street or something and you had difficulty finding the one you were looking for? Sometimes it's hard to find the right path. We need to think about this as we consider what choices we're making. Which road are you taking? Are you going down the right path, the one that's going to lead you to life? Or are you going the broad way? The way that's the most popular, going along with the crowd, following everybody else, following the mob. Because, hey, if everybody's going, there must be something good going on over there. Kind of like a bunch of lemmings. You know about the lemmings, the little rat-like creatures that get in this crazy mindset where they all rush together and they will run right off the edge of a cliff, thousands and thousands of them. And they're not smart enough to stop and say, hey, wait a minute, they're all going off that cliff. I don't want to go. They just go right on with everybody else because everybody else is going. The whole everybody else is doing it is not a good choice for which path we should take in life. Which road are you taking? What will guide your decisions? We all have that choice to make as well. We have several choices, but they really all boil down to just two once again. It's amazing how many things we think, oh, there's a multitude of choices. Yes, in some ways you could say there are. But all of those choices are in two groups. Think about it this way. For example, as we think about something simpler, we think about food. There's a multitude of choices of food out there. But really it all boils down to two choices at every meal. Eat it or don't eat it. Those are really the only two choices. We either eat or we don't eat. But now if we decide to eat, oh, then we get other choices that we can make. But if we decide not to eat, then we can spend our time on something besides eating. And we don't have to cook it or fix it or go buy it or whatever. Basically, it's just those two. Well, the same is true here. What's going to guide our decision? We say, well, I could let anything do it. I could be guided by my horoscope, or I could be guided by a self-help book, or I could be guided by flipping a coin every time I had a decision to make, or rolling the dice, or I can do it any way I want. But really, it all comes down to this. We can follow man's opinions for how things should be done, as Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Or we can follow God's commandments. Psalm 119, verses 97 through 100, as well as verse 105. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all day. Through your commandments you've made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. You want to be smart, you want to be wise, you want to have understanding, you want to be smarter than your teachers? Go to God. God will make you smarter. Now, that doesn't mean that you'll do better on a math test because you read the Bible. That's not what we're talking about. But wisdom, true wisdom and understanding of the way things work. It's pretty clear to see, especially in the area of the sciences, when the science teacher is talking about how we evolved from this to this to this to the monkey to the man, and God says, no, you know what? I created man in my image. They got all their theories, but God's teachings. So what is your guide? Are you following the teachings of God? Or are you following the teachings and opinions of man who does not know the things that God knows? And then we could ask ourselves, how will we view the Bible? It's an important decision that everyone must make. We could choose it as an interesting book written by men that's affected a lot of people. We could say that. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 through 8, Paul says, that's not what I think it is. He says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which God ordained before the world unto glory. We could choose to just say, hey, yeah, that's just some things some men wrote. And it's interesting, there's some good points in there somewhere, but that's all there is to it. Or we could say that it is God's Word to be studied and obeyed. And really, it's not so much what we say, but how we live that shows what we truly believe and what choice we've really made. In 2 Peter 1, 15 through 21, he makes it very clear that no prophecy of the Scripture is of a private interpretation. The prophecy did not come by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And if God inspired the Bible, then we are to live by it and live according to it. What do you believe about the Bible? And then also we could ask, well, by what doctrine of salvation will we seek to be justified? And again, there are choices that we could make. We could go with the idea of faith only. Did you know faith only is mentioned in the Bible? In James chapter 2, verses 21 through 26. In fact, in verse 24, James uses that very phrase. It's interesting, though, what he says. Ye see, then, how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Kind of wonder if all of our faith-only friends have ever read that verse. James makes it very clear, we are not justified by faith only. He says it just in so many words. And yet there are some that will choose that. Or will we use faith with obedience as he teaches in verses 14 through 20? What's it matter if you say you have faith and you don't have works? Can your faith save him? If somebody's naked and without food and you say, oh, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't give them what they need, is that doing any good? Even so, faith If it doesn't have works, it's dead. And death will not bring life. So, we have to answer the question, how are you seeking salvation? And then, of course, we have to ask, in what condition will we die? Will we die in sin? John 8, verses 21 and 24, as well as Luke 13, 3 and 5, Jesus said, I go my way and you'll seek me and you'll die in your sins, and where I'm going you cannot come. In Luke 13 he says, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Will we die in sin? As those that Jesus was talking to were in danger of doing? Or will we die in the Lord? Revelation 14, verses 12 through 13 says, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Cursed are the ones that die outside the Lord, that die in sin. How will you die? And by how, we don't mean what will be the actual mechanism that causes your death. I mean, will you be hit by a car? Will you die of cancer? Will you die peacefully in your sleep? Will, you know, that's not what we're talking about. We say, how will you die? In what condition? Will you die in sin or will you die in the Lord? These are our only two choices. Everyone who is dying every day is in one of those two conditions. They're either right with God or they're not right with God. And where will you spend eternity? The choices that we make on these things will make this eternal decision for us. And the thing is, we say, well, where do you want to spend eternity? You want to spend it in hell, in torment? Matthew 25, 41 and 46 talks about that. Everybody says, oh no, I don't want to do that. Well, do you want to spend it in joy in heaven? Oh yeah, that's what I want. Well, here's the thing. All of the other choices that we've talked about leading up to this are the ones that we have to make in order to make this choice. You see, when we get to the day of judgment, God's not going to say, okay, which door do you want to go through? No. It'll be too late to choose then. That's why Joshua taught those people, choose this day whom you're going to serve. You choose how you're going to live now, because you can't wait and choose then. It's too late. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, Peter talks about an inheritance that we have, incorruptible and undefiled, that fades not away. It's reserved for us in heaven. But just because it's reserved doesn't mean we get to keep the reservation. We've got to do what's necessary to make that reservation. So what is your ultimate destination going to be? The way you're living your life now, the choices you're making now about how you view the Bible, about who is the Lord of your life, whether it's Jesus or Satan, all of these things are making this ultimate eternal decision for you. Each one of these choices will have eternal consequence. The choices we make in this life will determine our destiny for all eternity. As we think about those choices, one of the things that we have to realize, and Tony Robbins, a motivational speaker who motivates people to get up and get moving and do what they're supposed to be doing in their lives, although not necessarily always from a biblical standpoint. But he said, it is in your moments of decision that your destiny is shaped. But there's something else he said that I thought was even more interesting, and we'll close with it. He said, a real decision is measured by the fact that you've taken a new action. If there's no action, you haven't truly decided. You know, we sing that song sometimes, I have decided to follow Jesus. And folks sometimes sing that song, but they don't actually take any action in their life. Did they really decide to follow Jesus? No. They just sang about following Jesus because it was a pretty song. They didn't really mean it. When we make a choice, the action has to follow, or we didn't really make the choice at all. If we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that its commands are necessary for us to obey, if we're going to believe that we're not saved by faith only, but by faith in conjunction with our works, if we're going to do all those things, then we've got to do them, not just say them. Anybody can say anything. God is not going to judge us on the last day based on who we say our Lord is, or based on whether we say we've obeyed Him or not. He's going to judge us based on who our Lord actually is, and whether we actually have obeyed Him or not, whether we actually have lived our lives like the Bible is His Word, full of commandments for us. That's what He's going to judge us on. Not what we talk, but how we walk. That's the key. If you need to respond to God's invitation this morning, perhaps you've been making the wrong choices in your life, and it's time for you to choose better things. If you want your life to be better, you've got to make better choices. If you want your eternity to be better, then you've got to make better choices. If you need to respond to God's invitation at this time for any reason, please do so as we stand and as we sing.